the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right. Not the prettiest game, but it's a win. A win's a win's a win. The Brewers 4-1 over the Nationals today. They have taken the series. They've won 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5. And, you know, Augie, sometimes when you don't have your best, you need to just get away with one. And quite frankly, the Brewers got away with one today. And they were the better team just by the cream rose, whatever you want to say, whatever cliche you want to use. The better team won today, even though they didn't perform like the better team in all aspects of the game. But sometimes you just need one of these to cleanse the palate and move on and get ready to go for a sweep tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I think you look at the first inning, you caught a little break there and wait with the unearned runs. And right from there on, you look at what Griffin, how he pitched very, very well. But taking advantage early in the game and getting a lead in a game is so important when you get on the road. And I tell you, that's one thing they did. Lockridge came up with the big base hit with 2 RBIs, and they were able to score the 3 runs in the first, the difference in the ballgame. But, you know, like you said, there are games that you don't think you should have won, or maybe that we should have been tested, and you go out and you win them. And this is one of those days. And you got to give the credit to the pitching. The pitching was outstanding today.
Yeah, the pitching is certainly the headline from this contest. The reason why I say that, and I bring it up, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but I mean, the Brewers allowed the leadoff man to reach in 7 of the 9 innings. They themselves only scored 4 runs, and quite frankly, in my opinion, all 4 of them should be unearned. Now, granted, it wasn't technically an error in the 8th inning to score the 4th run of this game, but all 3 runs in the first inning were unearned. They did nothing in the middle portion of this game offensively. They did not have their banner day with the bats, but they got enough done. They got just enough against Foster Griffin. We'll talk about the offense in a moment, but Kyle Harrison is certainly the headline once again, like he was on Sunday, not because of strikeouts, but because of crafty lefty style. You know, Augie, I know you love this, you know, being a left-hander yourself and just seeing, hey, maybe I'm not getting a swing and miss, or maybe I'm facing a hyper-aggressive team. We saw Kyle Harrison always competing in and around the strike zone, just 1 walk in 6 innings of work with 5 punch-outs. I just thought this, if this is the baseline for Kyle Harrison, man, the Brewers have a top-end starter in their rotation right now.
Oh, I agree. I you see where he's pitched. You know, back a few starts, Dom, he was trying to throw a sinker and utilize a sinker a little bit and got himself in a little bit of trouble. He was getting it up in his zone and they were putting the ball in play on it. So, you know, what he did, he kind of dialed himself back and kind of just reevaluated what it seemed like what he was doing. I think Chris Hook and Henderson did a nice job and reevaluated how he's going to approach it. He goes with the 4-seamer. It's a 4-seamer. He can dial it in. He can throw it to both sides of the plate. He can throw it up and down and get in the strike zone. But then he started using the changeup instead of the sinker. And that changeup, that off speed, just makes you that much better. But I really think the secondary pitch that I really like from Kyle Harrison is the slurve. Now they're calling it a slurve. It's a little bit different than a curveball and a little bit different than a slider. It's a little bit bigger. But the neatest thing about a slurve, Dom, is you can change speeds with it and you can locate it in different spots in the strike zone. And I think that has really been a key pitch for Kyle Harrison. He threw it. He threw it for strikes. He utilized it on both sides of the plate. And when he utilized it with the change of speeds, it made his fastball that much better. So I really think that he's learning as he's going along. And like you said, he continues to pitch and learn like he is right now. He can be a real factor for your rotation. But that slurve today, that secondary pitch, changing speeds on it, commanding that pitch today like he did, I thought was huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think the slurve being his primary secondary, you know, we all got enamored with the changeup during spring training and the movement metrics. He's still only using it about 13% of the time on the year. It's not that important of a pitch for him because of how dynamic the fastball slurve combinations are, and very few pitches are able to get by with just 2 and then a 3rd offering. But when all 3 are as strong as they've been early in the season, that's how Kyle Harrison is able to find success. And you're right, the strikes are the key. You know, one of the advanced stats that we use in this game is called CSW rate, which is called strikes and whiffs combined. You know, the most valuable strikes, not balls in play, swings and misses, and called strikes, the most valuable one. If you're over a quarter of your strikes are in that CSW range, you're doing something good, and he's 31% right now. So Kyle Harrison is not afraid to fill up the zone. He's not afraid to attack, knowing his stuff can create swings and misses, right? He's still got five more swings and misses on the fastball against a team that doesn't swing and miss all that often. It doesn't strike out all that often. This is not a team that's up there trying to work counts. This is a team that's up there to swing, and sometimes those are the hardest teams to face, and I thought Harrison just navigated this lineup beautifully today.
Yeah, he did. You know, I don't think he got a strikeout till like about the third or fourth inning that he actually got his first strikeout.
Third inning, yeah.
But he really, what he did is he really commanded the strike zone. And we was trying to get that sinker and utilize that sinker and kind of get ground balls. And he just said, you know what? I'm going to utilize my changeup as my sinker, and I don't need it a lot. And like you just said, Dom, but if I throw it for strikes, it's effective. And it puts the note in the minds of the hitters that, hey, he has that off-speed pitch. But then all of a sudden, he gets able to throw that four-seam fastball. He's able to locate it. He's able to add a little extra when he wants to. But that serve, that's like you just said, that is best secondary pitch. When you can throw that pitch for a strike, change speeds with it, and throw it to different parts of the zone, it becomes really effective. It's a great pitch, and for Kyle Harrison right now, it's becoming a very valuable pitch.
Very, very important for him. We'll talk about the bullpen a little bit later on in the show, but up next, the offense. There's a little left to be desired, but there's still plenty of good to highlight from this one. Brewers win 4-1 over the Nats. They've taken the series. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Shout out to Golden Tempo. Go cash in your tickets. Kentucky Derby here on this first Saturday in May. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. You know, the thoroughbreds for the Brewers right now, they're on their way back with Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn scheduled to return on Monday. In the meanwhile, the Brewers, you know, this order, once again, no extra base hits in a game and they win. They get a bunch of singles. They get a bunch of walks. They had six walks and seven singles in today's game. They go 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 runners on base, and yet they win 4-1. And I just sit here and I look at this offense, and again, if this is the baseline, if this is the floor, to use a cliche, if this is where it's like, oh man, everything's going wrong, they're not doing great, they're not cashing in the moment that they need to, and they can still get the four runs, man, I just sit here and imagine what it's going to be like when this lineup looks like it's supposed to.
Yeah, you look at this lineup, and, you know, I think if we say anything about this lineup, Dom, you know, it's funny because when they had the home run leaderboard on, you get to with five and three and two and two, or whatever it is, four and three and three. You know, you're singing this time, you probably see someone, a couple eights or a couple nines, and they're not doing that. But I think when you look at this offensive ball club, their patience at the plate, the ability to take pitches, and, you know, a classic example is you have Mitchell in the leadoff spot. Yeah, he strikes out a lot. You look at what he does, but he takes a lot of pitches at each at-bat, and he goes up there and he tries to give you the best at-bat he can, but he's taking pitches and making that pitcher work and giving the opportunity for the next guys on bat to see, well, how this pitcher's throwing the baseball. So I think the way this team has been able to, at times, put the ball in play when they need to and get the little base hits that they get, but patience at the plate has just been, it's been very good. And when they get the big boppers back, I think it's just going to add to how good this team could be.
When you look at the run total, right, the Brewers got that key insurance run in the eighth inning today thanks to a chopper from Joey Ortiz. But that four-run magic number, this is not an exclusive thing just to the Brewers. This is something across Major League Baseball. When the Brewers score four runs, it's all they're asking for, they are 16-3. When they score three runs or fewer, it's 2-11. I mean, it's a pretty simple formula, and they've now scored four more runs 16 times so far this year. Again, I imagine that number is going to increase when the big boppers come back. But in a day where they didn't hit a home run, they did not hit an extra base hit, they took advantage of a poor error at third base by Brady House in the first inning to score three runs. And then in the middle of this game, they really got away from their credo. Like, just from the status, like, I'm still blown my mind that the Brewers allowed a four-pitch inning. They would have been the bottom of my list with teams to allow a four-pitch inning in that fourth inning. And it just goes to show you, when things are going your way, things are really going your way.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was amazing. Griffin, you look at what he did after that first thing, after Lockridge got that base hit. He was awesome, and he had some real low-pitch innings, but throwing the ball over the plate. But, you know, you got to give – he threw the ball really well. Unfortunately, they had the error, and we were able to score the three runs and get ahead and set the tone for the ball game and allow Kyle Harrison to go out and do his job. But Griffin really threw the ball well, made some really good pitches when he had to, didn't give in to what he thought – what you could see as – getting into certain counts and getting into a certain style of pitching that you can cause some damage that the Brewers can do, getting the ball the opposite way, using the whole field. I thought he pitched a really good ball game, but you got to give credit to the Brewers, and you gave credit to today. It wasn't so much the offense, it was the pitching, and the pitching really came forward when they needed it. And the staff, you see the ERA and the bullpen, what it's been over the last week and a half, and then you got a 1.5 or something like that ERA. When you got the pitching doing well, you're playing strong defense, and you're manufacturing runs, you can win a lot of ball games. And the Brewers are 5-1 this week because of it.
Well, the only thing they really need to work on right now offensively is getting their ABS challenge strategy down, locked in, because once again, they ran out of challenges. They were 0-2 in the second inning today. That's not going to make Pat Murphy happy. It was kind of shocking. The Brewers are at the bottom in the rankings. They're only a 30% success rate. They're at the bottom now because the Nats got a few right today. So it's very odd that the Brewers offense ranks as the worst ABS challenging offense in baseball. But we got to talk about the bullpen because they were fantastic. We'll take a quick breather, come back with more for them, tell you about who's hot, who's not, because there's a name that's really got himself back on track. Talk about that next on 620 WTMJ. A couple of texts that have rolled in. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. A 4-1 victory for the crew. From Doug, so much for treading water. They're on pace for 90 wins. And who's got two better lefties at the top of their rotation than the Brewers? Few have weapons like them. Alex in Oshkosh, Brewers secure a series win. Nationals may have swept them back in Milwaukee, but tomorrow a chance for the sweep in the nation's capital. You know, when I look at the bullpen right now, Jerry Augustine, the fact that Trevor McGill is starting to look like himself again should not be lost. And the fact now, his last seven innings pitched, just two hits, one unearned run. It was the placed runner in extra innings against the Marlins in a game that they won. One walk and eight strikeouts for Trevor McGill. I think that is massive breaking news and really good news for him. He gets his fourth hold of the season since being moved out of the official ninth inning role. Are you seeing anything different from McGill lately?
Well, if I say anything right now, Domin, I don't know if you're going to – just a little thing I came up with. I saw him pitch. The way he goes to the mound, he changes delivery. He looks like he's – one thing is he's got more of a relaxed state of mind, and I'm not Billy Joel here, but he goes out there and he's just nice and relaxed, stays back, and I tell you, it's made a big difference with his fastball. He's starting to locate that fastball. When I saw it of him last year, when I thought he was really relaxed, being able to locate that fastball, is when he could throw that fastball on the inner half to a right-hander up in his zone and that ball go in on him and they couldn't get around on him. And I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see a little bit more relaxed with the breaking ball. Yeah, he overthrew a couple today, but he's just a little bit more relaxed, got that temperament saying that, you know what, I'm going to stay back. I know what I have to do to be successful. If I can get ahead of these hitters the way I'm supposed to, it puts me in a good position. And I think that's the big thing, Dom. I seem a little bit more relaxed, and that ability to pitch ahead is so important for Trevor McGill.
Yeah, he's an easy pick for who's hot, who's cold. It's brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With Wisconsin's weather all over the map, now's the time to get ahead of the heat with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Save $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th or get $25 off AC tune-ups all month long. So don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. I mean, the bullpen, it was kind of an anomaly day today because, you know, Abner Uribe had the only strikeout for the bullpen in today, and it didn't come until the ninth inning against Jose Tena. And then Grant Anderson, yes, he gave up a ground rule double, but also got the next two guys to be retired, both left-handed hitters in Garcia and Ruiz, a switch hitter, and it was a nice play there by Joey Ortiz to get the man. But DL Hall has now found himself in this important lefty leverage role with Ashby going multiple innings yesterday. Hall is going to have to be this guy now where, hey, you're going to face the toughest lefty on the other side if Ashby's not available. And he got James Wood today and got him to ground out to end that seventh inning as a tying run. I don't think that's going to be the last time we see such a situation for DL Hall.
I thought that was, you know, Dom, I thought that was one of the bright spots of the game. When he came in the game, you know, we see him when he comes in the game. Usually he comes in, when he comes in, he pitches, starts an inning, or comes in the ball game and pitches multi-innings like this. But his aggressiveness in the strike zone tonight, today with all his pitches, he was going right after him. He threw his breaking ball for a strike. His fastball was locating on both sides of the plate. I thought that was a real spark part of the ball game, a real important part, and really made some really good pitches to get that last out of the inning. I thought that was a highlight of the game today with having DL Hall come in the game and prove and show to himself and show that this world ball club that he can be that guy. When you don't have Aaron Ashby, he can set that tone for you if you need it against a left-hander. I thought that was huge in today's ball game.
It's going to be something we watch moving forward because it sounds like surgery is on the table for Angel Zerpa, and it could be season-ending. Jared Koenig's only playing flat ground catch right now, so he's still a ways away. Rob Sestrizny's still just playing catch. He's still a ways away. So the Brewers need some lefty leverage, and guys like Brian Fitzpatrick and DL Hall are going to have to step up and be the role that they maybe didn't expect to be in at the start of the season. Just real quick on the who's cold note, just the defense in this game was really sloppy by both teams. David Hamilton, tough day for him. I'll talk about him in the next segment. Brady House, an error in the first inning. CJ Abrams, an error in the fourth. Just a weird, sloppy game for a couple of guys defensively today.
Yeah, these are really good, solid players. And, you know, the error in the hard by House in the first inning really gave the Brewers the impetus they needed to win the ball game. But not a sharp played ball game. But a game, you know what? Even though the situation happened, the Brewers were able to make the adjustments and come out with the win. And that's what you want to do. You're going to make mistakes once in a while, but can you overcome them? And the Brewers are having the ability to do that.
The Brewers are a team that's built on pitching and defense, and today was certainly an example of that, just allowing one run. So Augie, they go for the sweep tomorrow, gravy day, and it's listed as TBA for tomorrow's starter. Logan Henderson was present in the clubhouse, according to Todd Rosiak, but we'll see if it's Logan, if it's Chad Patrick, if it's an opener, whatever it may be. We're going to maybe see a new face tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, Logan, I think they're going to go with Logan Henderson. I think they're waiting to see, you know, what the situation is, how he came through today. And, you know, giving Chad Patrick that extra day always sometimes helps, especially when you see all the little nooks and crannies of injuries that they're having right now. So it could be Logan Henderson. And I'll tell you what, he throws the ball well. It'd be fun to watch him play. And it'd be good for the Brewers to return the favor to the Nationals, come up with a sweep.
All right. Brewers going for the sweep, and Jerry Augustine will be with us tomorrow to break it all down. Thank you, Augie.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the beyond the box score stuff from today's game, some of the things we like, we didn't like, back after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 4-1. I'm Dom Petronio. So let's look at some of the things in today's game that just kind of caught my eye. How about Brandon Lockridge? I mean, he just, every time he's in the game, he does something to impact it in a positive light. He's up to a .269 average as a non-full-time player. It's 89 plate appearances so far this year. He's not here to slug, okay? I know he's only got a .308 slug, but he's got a .352 on base. 10 walks to go with 10 runs batted in. He's also got 5 stolen bases. He has filled a need for the Brewers while Vaughn and Churio are gone, is that he's just right-handed, okay? I think that when those two guys come back, Lockridge slides into more of a fourth-slash-fifth outfielder role, and then it becomes a harder conversation when Christian Yelich comes back. But Lockridge continues to be somebody that has impressed me. He's had a little rut at the beginning of the year, but he's got back on the horse to get things going in the right direction. Luis Rengifo, another hit today. he's getting closer to finally getting above that Mendoza line. But remember, when you got an 0-for-20 a month into the season, it's going to be hard to bring that thing up. Just give it some time. If you heard Sal Frelick on today's Brewers warm-up, talked about the fact that, hey, everybody needs 500 plate appearances to fairly grade a player. And I'm buying that. And that's kind of how we're leading into our buy or sell. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, proud members of Keller Williams and one of the best real estate teams in Wisconsin. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. I think I'm selling, though. I understand David Hamilton had a rough day off the bench, and this is a learning moment for David Hamilton today, right? He comes in as a pinch runner. Hit and run is on with Lockridge, right? Lockridge goes the other way on a perfect single through the right side. Hamilton dives headlong into second base, never identifies the baseball, and does not try to advance to third. And he totally could have. Matt Erickson was waving him on over at third base, and Hamilton would put his hand up saying, I messed up there. And it's especially frustrating for him, too, because nobody was deking him. Nobody was like holding the tag on him, trying to surprise him. So he'll wear that. But then, obviously, the ninth inning mistake is the one that's going to keep him up at night. Dropping a routine pop-up, making Abdi Uribe throw a few more pitches, leaving two men aboard in the first and second inning in the bottom of the ninth inning, the last thing that anybody wanted to see. But the thing that I explain to people all the time when you're trying to figure out young players and playing time and that sort of thing, as you know, my Twitter mentions devolve into a Joey Ortiz argument about once every 3 days. You know why Joey gets to play? Is Joey's a great defender. And if David Hamilton is not going to be a great defender, and even Pat Murphy talked about this earlier this week, specifically him at shortstop. You know, there have been some hiccups. He's still got some work to do there. But if you're dropping pop-ups, if you're missing mental mistakes on base running, the Brewers are a team that they don't make those mistakes. They don't have time to make those mistakes. And look, everybody makes mistakes. David will be the first to admit, yeah, he messed up today. He had a bad game. Everybody has bad games. It's not the end of the world. But when the Brewers are looking for something out of the left side of their infield, whether it be Hamilton, Renjifo, or Ortiz, the fewer mistakes, the better, obviously. So maybe tomorrow he gets a stolen base and he goes 4-for-4 and we forget like it ever even happened. Brewers win 4-1 today over the Washington Nationals. Just relive it coming up next with some highlights on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. Doesn't matter if you win ugly. It's still winning. Let's get you to the highlights in a 4-1 victory.
Ready for this? This
brought it back.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Game two of a three-game set with the Nats trying to enact revenge after getting swept at home. Kyle Harrison for the Brewers against Foster Griffin for the Nats. And the Brewers did something interesting against that southpaw Griffin. They had two lefties at the top of the order today with Mitchell and Turang. Well, they don't factor much into the highlights today. They were retired the first two outs of the first, and then a rally formed out of nowhere. A single by Contreras, a walk by Sanchez, a walk by Bowers. The bases are loaded for Luis Renjifo.
1-0 pitch. He is a ground ball sharply hit to third. Bobbled by House. Picks it up. Doesn't have a play anywhere. It'll be an E5. Contreras scores from third, and the Brewers strike first. It is 1-0 Milwaukee. Pretty routine ground ball right to House at third, and he just bobbled it.
All right, one run when you probably don't deserve it. That's a-okay, right? Nope. 0-2 count on Brandon Lockridge. He really makes
Griffin
it hurt.
Brings home the pitch, and it's a ground ball through the left side into left field, a base hit. Sanchez will score. Bowers chugging around third. He will score. It's a two-run single for Brandon Lockridge, and the Brewers lead it 3-0.
And quickly in the bottom of the first inning, Kyle Harrison set the tone of how the day was going to go.
This is ground ball. Backhanded by Ortiz. Flips to second for one. On to first in time. The Brewers go 6-4-3. Turn the double play. And the inning is over.
Now, it was a lot of ball in play against Harrison today. He didn't have a strikeout until the third inning when he K'd James Wood to end that frame. Then he really found his groove after a run had scored in the fourth, facing old friend Joey Weimer.
The pitch. And got him looking. Breaking ball clipped the outside corner. And another big ortho ASAP strikeout for Kyle Harrison. He has recorded the last three outs via the strikeout for the last five batters he's faced.
So that makes it five strikeouts in six strong innings for Kyle Harrison. back-to-back quality starts for him. Problem is, it's still only 3-1 Brewers. Their offense had failed to do anything until the eighth inning with one out, an infield single by Luis Renjifo, then a clean single the other way by Brandon Lockridge. Runners on first and second for Freeland. He bounced the single to the left side, and Joey Ortiz brought him home with an RBI ground out, but that would be all the Brewers got in the eighth. It's 4-1 Crew. Trevor McGill had a 1-2-3 eighth inning. Great to see him get back on the saddle. And then in the ninth, Abner Uribe with a couple of men on finishes the job.
2-2 pitch. Ground ball to first base. Bowers Field steps on the bag, and the Brewers have taken the series, and they'll go for a sweep tomorrow here in D.C. 4-1 your final, as the Brewers led the entire way, and Milwaukee wins their third in a row and their fifth game out of six.
It wasn't even that stressful. The Brewers win 4-1. Final lines in this one. 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 error for the Crew. 1 run, 9 hits, 2 errors for the Nats. Brewers left 10. Nats left 8. The winner is Kyle Harrison. He is 3-1 with a 2.12 ERA. The loser is Griffin. He is also 3-1 with a 2.27 ERA. None of the runs allowed are earned against him. A save to Uribe and holds to McGill, Hall, and Anderson. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 4-1. The manager, Pat Murphy, plenty to say as usual in today's post-game briefing with the media. Here's Murph.
First time working with Gary, and you know, just he did a great job. You can see the confidence coming out of him, so that's a great thing for a guy with limited experience and you know the way he's throwing the ball for us. So that was great. He was great. Give us 6 innings. I mean, and the job that Anderson and Hall did in that seventh inning was to set up everything. McGill and Uribe were great, but Anderson had to face 3 lefties and got the job done, and then Hall came in and got a big out and a big time.
Perfect. The nature of the starting rotation right now and the fact that you guys, you know, brought Harrison in as a young guy, how encouraged are you by what he's shown you and what you think he might be able to do moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he's the front office recognized that this is a kid they want to go after because some of the properties and, you know, their assessment of what he could be. And he came in and he's, you know, he had some hiccups obviously early, but he's spring training was not the best, but it was a learning curve. And, you know, we took him through the car wash and it's really worked out.
He showed a lot of trust in his defense. Obviously, that's something every starting pitcher wants. But what kind of maturity does that show that he is able to work around those
batters? No, he was great. I mean, he's starting to use his off-speed stuff more effectively and start to believe in it more. He's just overall getting more and more situated and knowing who he has to be. He knows this is not easy. He knows there's going to be ups and downs in this deal, but he's really, really intent, really focused, and it's been fun watching this maturation right in front of us.
Murphy's William that got that first inning rally going there with that single that left him 9 for his last 10 at the plate. It's hard to put into words what he's done the last several games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean he's been good. He's really been good. He's really capable. Yeah, we're looking for consistency. We're looking for consistency in approach. I mean, this guy's got a chance to be, a top 10 player in the league if he stays consistent, you know, in every way.
And then from there, that was just kind of one of your prototypical Brewer rallies, wasn't it? To take advantage of the air and, you know, move guys around and turned out to be enough today.
Yeah. Joey Ortiz came up big making contact there. And, great at-bats by Lockridge and Frelick and Renjifo, opposite field ground ball. I mean, we had 3 opposite field balls on the ground. That works. Yeah. It's not something that's ideal. You cheer a lot and hit the ball in the gap. But while we have this power outage, you know, we'll light candles. You know what I mean?
With a pitcher like Foster Griffin, who has 7 different pitches, having seen him about 2 weeks ago and then seeing him now, did you see anything different?
Well, he's good. Did I see anything different? Not really. I mean, how he sequenced guys is a little different. You know, he's faced guys before, but he wanted to get it on your hands, work both sides of the plate, change speeds. He's really an effective pitcher. He'll be really good for them all year. I'm glad we're done with those guys after tomorrow.
Where for you in the spot where you could share the starter tomorrow, or you want to wait on that?
Yeah, we'll announce it tomorrow at some point, okay. You know.
All right, that's a little hint. Could be roster move related, but that's speculating. We'll find out tomorrow. 12:35, first pitch tomorrow. Let's preview that finale up next as we say goodnight after this on 620 WTMJ. Kyle Harrison with a dub. Abney Ribe with a save. Good day at the yard for the Brew Crew. Tomorrow, it's an early one, so get your bagel, get your coffee, get ready to go. 12:35, first pitch, Central Time. And again, TBD for the Brewers starter. That kind of indicates a roster move would need to be done for somebody to be called up. Logan Henderson is present in the Brewers clubhouse, according to Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Up against Zach Littell on the other side for the Nats. Again, 12:35. We won't have pregame, just Brewers warm-up starting at noon here on WTMJ. But I will be with you after the game for Brewers extra innings. And then the crew is on to St. Louis for a three-game set coming up with the Cardinals. Another thing I wanted to point out from today's game that I failed to do so earlier as part of the buying or selling for Milwaukee right now is the fact that I am buying the fact that the Brewers are using Garrett Mitchell in a leadoff spot and getting Terang in the two spot. Now, today was an anomaly that it was a lefty-on-lefty matchup today. But I'm buying the fact that Garrett, I know he strikes out, right? We've talked about it plenty of times, but he still got on base twice in his five plate appearances today. Look, if you do that every game, that's a 400 on base percentage. And you're not going to do that every game, but I'm just reminding folks that batting average isn't everything. And I know we see a couple of really good numbers on this team, like William and Bryce both hovering around 300. And then you see some bad numbers like Joey and Renifo and Sal right now. But I promise you, especially a smart organization like the Milwaukee Brewers, they don't grade everything off batting average. It's not 1982 anymore. But it would still be nice to see a few more hits, of course, just like everybody wants to see. A couple of quick updates on the out-of-town scoreboard and some headlines you need to know about. A lot of day games here across baseball, and a crazy one in Pittsburgh. 17-7, the final score between the Steelers and the Bengals. I mean, the Pirates and the Reds. Yeah, ha-ha, it's a funny joke. But I mean, 10 runs in the first two innings of the Pirates. At one point, Reds pitchers walked 8 batters in a row to match a major league record. I mean, the box score reads just like a video game. They scored 17 runs without a homer. They went 12-for-24 with runners in scoring position, drawing 11 walks in this game. So Pittsburgh continuing their hot stretch now. They're 18-16. Still, every team in the Central is above 500. The Cubs blanked the Diamondbacks today, 2-0. Ildemar Vargas' hitting streak dating back to last season has now snapped, so we can stop that debate of what's good, what's bad about a split-season streak. So 2-0 for the Cubs. And also here tonight, later on in Los Angeles, I should say in St. Louis, they are underway now. It is the Dodgers and the Cardinals. Roki Sasaki on the mound for L.A., against Michael McGreevy for the Cardinals. They have been a surprise of the National League at 19-13 are the Cardinals. Not that we care about standings in May, but just reading you the records is just very impressive for the division. The Cubs at 21-12, the Reds at 20-13, the Cardinals at 19-13, so they can reach 20 wins by the end of the night. Then it's the Brewers at 18-14, and then it's the Pirates at 18-16. It's the best division in baseball right now, bar none. Other games that went final earlier today. Miami continues to hover around 500. They blanked the Phillies 4-0 in a game started by Max Meyer, the former Minnesota prospect. Astros beat the Red Sox 6-3. The Brewers will see the Astros at the end of May. Also today, Cleveland beating up in Sacramento over the A's 14-6. Blue Jays over the Twins 11-4, and the Yankees against Pete Alonso's Orioles 9-4. Cody Bellinger hitting a pair of homers in that one. That's a quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll look at it more for the weekend tomorrow for Brewers extra innings as the crew looks for a sweep. trying to get their second sweep of the season. The first, of course, being against the White Sox. That is going to just about do it for our program here again on the air at noon with the On Deck Show, put by Menards, for Lane and Josh from the ballpark, and then First Pitch at 12:35. And I'll be with you after the game as well. Looking forward to whoever is on the mound for the crew. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.